This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
There was a lot going on this show today. First and foremost, to start the 5 o'clock hour, we got to give a big shout out to Oren. Big O, his lovely wife, had their child, and what a name for this baby, Mike. Henry Benjamin Patton Romaine. I said to Day-Day and Dom, is this kid going to be a four-star general?
I mean, it literally sounds like, I mean, get the applications into West Point right now, doesn't it?
Unbelievable. But congratulations. He is off. They finally had the baby.
Brittany's fine, too. Yep.
Yes. It's been a few long weeks, we will tell you guys.
Right.
Ups and downs.
A little stressful. A little stressful.
But congratulations. So we want to start off the day by saying that to one of our family members here. Big O, congrats. And we know it's going to be an incredible time for you guys. Now, what's
a little pressure on the second kid because the first kid's really cute.
This is true. Yeah. No, and he just got his first haircut. Did you see that haircut?
I know. And then, as we guys know, people with multiple kids. I know, Data, you got your favorite. There's always the one you love more than
I
the others.
I will never say such a thing.
Come on. We all know it's the truth.
It is the truth.
Come on, man.
My mom told me I was. Yeah. Hey, draft class numbers, Mike, are out.
Yes, we now know what you got to go to, NFL.com, if you love defense.
Defense.
Again, Jalen Walker is going to wear number 11.
Oh, get me my Walker jersey.
James Pierce Jr. is going to wear 27.
What he wore in college.
Right. So he's going to wear that there. Xavier Watts from Notre Dame is going to wear 31.
I like it.
Bowman from Oklahoma will wear 33.
Bring the heat, Bowman.
And Nelson, he's going to wear 69. So anyway, yeah, from Wisconsin, he's going to the Badger rocking the old 69 there, which is always fun.
I hope we are wearing Walker and Pierce and Watts
yes.
numbers
yes.
At the stadium, and they're impressing us. But that's cool. So now we know what they're going to wear.
Right. And right? I know that we joked around that Kobe with the C, Bryant from Kansas, wants the number 2, but first he's going to make the roster first. We'll see about that, too.
No doubt.
That's Matt Ryan's number. And again, Nick Nash was 3 in college. That's Jesse Bates. So we'll wait and see what those guys do in camp. But the guys we drafted, I think there'll be a lot of 11 jerseys out there, man, I think.
Look, give me mine. All right. While we're talking about the Falcons, guys, coming up, we'll talk with Grant. Braves did something last night, continuing their streak, but they got some clutch hitting, some clutch pitching. A lot of things going right for our squad right now, but we'll get into that here in about 10 minutes. Our buddy Josh Kendall from the Athletic talked to the assistant general manager, his name's Kyle Smith, for those of you who don't know, about this draft, but specifically how comfortable they were in drafting James Pierce. And Mike, we find out that the Falcons were not only comfortable, but they were committed to this, and they did an extensive background check and all the things that we've heard about to feel comfortable enough to get to this point where they made the deal to get back into the first round. And I want to say this, right? Just because they felt comfortable doesn't mean that they got the right guy. That still has yet to be determined. We have to figure that out once he gets on the field. But they feel very good about the fact that a lot of people around the NFL, Mike, were saying, wait a minute. This guy had some things off the field, and are we concerned? And why are we concerned? And they're not concerned. And Kyle Smith, and I'm quoting here, said the reason why they did this deal, all right, is if we were going into next year, quote, we would be hoping that a Jalen Walker or a James Pierce would be there next year. This year, we're sitting there, and we've got an opportunity to take two players from that bucket. As I described earlier, the bucket of we've got to draft these guys. They're in our number one bucket, the number two bucket. All right, and maybe if we get a chance, we'll see where we're at. And the third bucket is we'll take a chance. This first bucket, Mike, he's saying we couldn't pass up the opportunity to get two guys in that first bucket.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't like – I guess you love the speed and the athleticism and certainly the size of James Pierce Jr. over the physical toughness of Mike Green, you know, because we talked about him. That's the guy that, you know, I go back to and I say, look, I'm going to be watching. I think like a lot of Falcon fans, you'll see what Green does with the Ravens, see what Pierce does with the Falcons, and who has the bigger impact. But I just – I respect the front office for being clairvoyant enough with the Michael Penix Jr. You know me, just draft him and don't mess around with Cousins. Save that money for defense, because this year would not have been a great quarterback draft, and there would have been too many variables in the equation.
Yes.
If by chance you wanted Shedeur Sanders, less the crazy fall and situation that played out, but that was a good move. I still have a hard time wrapping my head around. You're telling me you couldn't find a great defensive end in the second round? You couldn't find impact in the second round, let alone next year? Like, there won't be an edge rusher that's going to be that good in the late first round? So that's a bit of a stretch for me. Remember, this is sort of the echo of the general manager. This is the assistant making these comments.
It is. And I think it gives us more insight into the room, right? This isn't Terry Fontenot. This is the assistant who's also in these decisions along with Ra and everybody else in the front office. 404-726-0929. But as we talk about this, guys, you know, look, there's two parts for me in this. And that is the last 15 years we finished top 20 in sacks. Top 20 in the last 15 years. They had to address it. They did. That's not the issue. And I'm not even, Mike, you know, upset if, in fact, they gave up too much. Because if this guy ends up being a baller,
right,
nobody's going to care in 2 years when we're leading the league in sacks, potentially, and we're going, man, we on third and long, I'm not even worried anymore because we're getting pressures and we're getting sacks. But you need guys up front that can win. And plain and simple, Falcon fans, we haven't had enough of those guys.
No, and look, if you want to look for some correlation, back in 2011, you know, Thomas Dimitroff felt that it wasn't defense to beat a team like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who just beaten us in the divisional round. He thought we needed more scoring. You know, that Michael Jenkins wasn't that over-the-top guy, and you needed some better pieces. So you moved up, and you basically mortgaged the next year's draft to go get Julio Jones. You went from all the way in the 20s all the way up, you know, to top seven. So and Julio's going to be a Hall of Famer. So if you're looking for any kind of historical thing, okay, that worked. But, you know, with Pierce Jr., but everybody knew Julio was going to be a baller. It really came down to it was either you were a Julio guy or you were an A.J. Green guy that year.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And the only thing for Julio and the only concerns at the time were just the ankle. Or the foot.
Yep.
But this one with Pierce Jr., it just seemed like there were other viable options. It's like you outbid yourself because, I mean, a lot of experts, and again, Carl said it, right now, the only people who are chirping are the people that give these draft grades. We don't know. And that's why all you can do is see who goes and could have gone there where you could have picked and see what Pierce says. But I will say, and you agree, got to be impact, man. This is not a project. This isn't a 3-year slow burn to watch James Pierce Jr. become a guy. He's got to be the baller right now.
I agree. Here's my only thing or question about this whole process. And it's interesting to hear somebody else in the front office talk about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Why did they have to do extensive work beyond the initial evaluation? So I'm interested in a player. And you guys come back to me, Day-Day, Dom, Mike, and you guys say, it's really good, but we got to do some extra work on it. Why? Other guys, you go, he's really good. Okay, well, we don't need to do any extra work on him. He's just there. He's right there. They're admitting that they did extensive work beyond the initial evaluation. My question is why? And that is why you're hearing people around the NFL question the things about this particular pick. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what I heard prior to the draft, when the draft happened, and now. We just had a guy on from Charlotte. We asked him. We don't even know Mike K. Mike K comes on, Mike says, what did you think about the Falcons?
They're the Falcons.
Yes. He said that, yeah, which was a low blow. But he also said, look, I was kind of blown away at this pick because, and he goes into exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, you could argue he's just simply regurgitating what pre-draft analysis said this guy, where this guy was going to go, or he just, you know, like most folks, he just, like I did on draft night. I thought we were going to get Malachi Starks. I thought it was something else at the time. And then, oh, we're doing edge, okay. But then the big question for me is, and we'll never, ever get the answer to this one until maybe someday, But Randy McMichael asked on draft, the day after the draft, asked Terry Fontenot, would you have taken him at 15 if Jalen Walker hadn't fallen to us? Remember, we were still trying to find out. Something's going on there, trying to have our cake and eat it too. We were still shopping that pick because even though, you know, because the world said you cannot say no to Jalen Walker, but I think they had tunnel vision on Pierce. And then that would, that's a hell of a reach. That's a hell of a reach.
I think so too.
So, like, as we said, if these guys that were not taken go on and ball, like for instance, Donovan Ezeraku, what kind of impact is he going to have? That's a guy that you and I talked about at length from Boston College, but he's not as big or as fast as what they perceive James Pierce Jr. to be. Same goes for Mike Green.
Mike, I hope James Pierce makes me want to go buy his jersey. I'm being serious. Right. I do, because I hope whatever this stuff is drives him and lights the fire.
And you mentioned it. It was in the article. I think it was Josh Kendall had where Jalen Walker goes on draft night, like the rest of us. Damn, but he's like, I've seen James Pierce from a sideline. I know what this guy's about. He was juiced.
He did. He was excited. Hey, man, we got more to get to. Braves are juiced, guys. They got three in a row tonight. It's Grant Holmes. Hunter Green's pretty damn good himself. Should be an interesting contest, but last night we got some clutch in us. It's Duke's
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Bell. Why some Falcon fans are having an issue with some of the numbers that have just been issued. We'll get into it in 15 minutes, guys.
Oh, some guys are triggered. Julio!
Coming up on the show. But right now, let's talk to our man, Grant McCauley. And we go around the yard. Grant, last night was a lot of fun. And matter of fact, it's been fun, right, to see this team and the resurgence that they've had after starting the way they did. But let's talk about Sale first. He did not get the dub, but that's pitching, right? That's sometimes out of your control. But, man, he looked good last night, and it's another good sign for this rotation.
Yeah, it is, and I think that we've been seeing this rotation continue to put the pieces together, and that kind of consistency was something that the Braves were missing for quite a while. And, you know, having Chris Sale looking like Chris Sale, getting contributions from Grant Holmes and A.J. Smith-Shawver and Bryce Elder, and, you know, eventually Spencer Schwellenbach's going to figure this thing out and they get Spencer Strider back. That's a pretty solid group to work from, but you needed to see the results. You needed to see the consistency. You needed to feel like guys were pitching to their norms, let's call it that. And for Chris Sale, that, to me, is the tip of the sword for this rotation. He's got to be the guy that sets the tone. And last night, really for the second straight start and third in a row, if you want to really go back and look at the numbers, he's put up Chris Sale-type numbers.
Right. 10 strikeouts and certainly enough to win. Unfortunately, 11 men left on base, so they didn't really punch it across when he should have had the dub on that one. But Money Harris, so money. And I know, Grant, I saw you on social media. He needed that because he was struggling, especially since the homestand started.
Yeah, he had been, and he's not alone. I mean, there were a lot of guys with opportunities to get the big hit, knock in a run, you know, just and manufacturing runs for that matter. I mean, you can look at the, you know, 2-for-38, I believe they were, heading into extra innings with runners in scoring position over the previous six games, including last night. Now, Marcell Ozuna made you forget about that because he hit a walk-off to give the Braves that win, and in those six games, they have gone 3-3, but you know, as the old saying goes, I guess the major league saying, they've left the village out on the base paths and they've got to figure out a way to, you know, sort that whole thing out. And Michael Harris, I think, is one of the guys that as he gets going, it's just going to make this lineup click better and be harder to deal with because, sure, you look at Austin Riley and Matt Olson and Marcell Ozuna, who won it last night, and Ronald when he gets back and Ozzy when he's going right. All of a sudden, you're stacking up 5, 6, 7 names. That is what made the Braves so dangerous. But I think for Harris, it's the hard work is there. I mean, he's out here hitting early before games. He's trying to figure the whole thing out. Sometimes it's just a grind to make that adjustment where it finally clicks. But some confidence builders, like getting base hits that knock in runs that help you win a ball game that otherwise might have gone in the frustrating loss column, that has to feel pretty good for Michael Harris.
What did he say after the game? And have you had conversations with him prior to getting out of this slump where you felt like, okay, hey, he's taking extra BP. What is he doing to try to help himself?
Well, he's definitely doing the extra work, and that's never been a question with Michael Harris. But I feel like he's one of those guys that it's soft-spoken but pretty pragmatic about things in that, you know, he's not trying to get high on his own supply when things are going great, but he's also not allowing himself to just get dragged down into the, okay, man, it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, I haven't gotten the hits I needed, I'm batting one, whatever. And if you need a reminder of what you're hitting, there's a 50-foot board pretty much every major league park that's going to tell you exactly where you're at. And I feel like he does a pretty good job of insulating himself from that and keeping the approach that he needs. And that is, I think, a great separating factor for players that are able to work their way through, is that they are able to, as much as they can, insulate themselves from the noise and figure out what it takes to get it done. And I think Michael Harris has done a pretty good job of that, overcoming some slow starts in the past. I mean, everybody, himself included, would love to eliminate the, oh, Harris has started slow for this year or that year or the year before that, whatever the case is. But you can only do what you have in that particular day. And I think he does a good job of keeping that mindset as much as anything and trying to move that forward into the next one.
It's a Grant, quoting Scarface, which is always a hit on a hump day here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I know I ask you this a lot. I'll ask it again. Matt Olson, batting 176 for the homestand. What do they need to do to get him going consistently?
I think the biggest thing would be if you could get the other team to agree to only play 3 fielders total, I think that he would start having some balls that are falling. I mean, look, I don't think he's doing anything wrong per se. And I got into this with some people on social media because all of the metrics say that Matt Olson should be better than he is because of what he does. And, you know, he's walking more this year. He's striking out less. Who doesn't want to put that on their list every year? And who wasn't requesting that from Matt Olson and others? Like, hey, less, fewer strikeouts, more walks, more this, more that. He's doing some of those things, but he's not getting rewarded on the batted ball luck. And if you get into all the advanced metrics, it would waste probably our entire time here. He may be the unluckiest hitter in Major League Baseball right now. And some people may not want to hear that, and they may not want to look at expected stats, and that's fine. But what I'm seeing from Matt Olson is not telling me there's reason to be alarmed about his numbers. He's going to normalize, and some of these things are going to start to work for him. It just sometimes baseball is just like this, where you don't get rewarded when you hit the ball hard, but that's the mission every time. So we'll see if he's able to ultimately turn the corner and get himself, you know, going and start seeing some of these things falling. And for that matter, have a few balls go over the outfield wall. That would go a long way towards getting medals and going.
We're talking Braves with Grant McCauley, guys. Braves continue their series tonight. It's Hunter Green taking on Grant Holmes, which we'll talk about here in a second. I want to talk about Iglesias. I think over his last two outings, Grant, he's looked like the Iglesias that we become accustomed to. And I asked this question earlier in the show, and Mike and I were talking about it. Do you think the way we started, where he didn't get any run? I mean, he wasn't coming out of the bullpen to save games. We weren't scoring runs. He wasn't saving leads. Maybe got him off to this slow start. I don't want to make excuses, but it's taken a minute for him to get going.
Yeah, and I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's one of the factors, though. If you're used to doing a certain job and being pitched in a certain amount or a certain amount of usage and a certain type of innings, and you're just not getting that, it's a little bit hard to stay as sharp as you might be if you were getting the regular tests and the regular opportunities to be the guy that you are. So I do think that's part of it. Clearly, he's made some mistakes. He hasn't been as sharp as he needs to, and those are the adjustments that he has to make to get better. But the guy I saw the last couple of nights or last couple of outings for him makes me believe that that's still in there. Father Time hasn't quite arrived to tell him that it's all done and he needs to just circle the wagons and or pack it up and pack it in. But it was an alarming start, especially with the home run ball. But I think he's starting to make the adjustments that he needs to.
Yeah, man. I know that the team is you know, I said scuffling there for a while. But I think the stat, I don't know if you had it, Grant, on Twitter, but after starting 0-7, and needless to say, we're all pulling our hair out, they could be the team to get to 500 fastest after starting a season 0-7. That's a little factoid. And hopefully tonight, the pitcher for the Reds, though, was really good.
Yeah, he is. He got some Cy Young votes last year. He's probably going to get some Cy Young votes this year and maybe for quite a few years to come. Hunter Green, he's been a highly regarded prospect, a big-time arm, and he's starting to turn in some serious results for the Reds over the past couple of seasons. He's got 100-mile-an-hour fastball, really dynamic breaking stuff. And, you know, when you think about what it is that the Reds and their fan base can get excited about, yeah, you hear a lot about Ellie De La Cruz, but Hunter Green is probably 1B on that list as the guys that are trying to lead them into the future and turn that corner. So it's going to be a tough one, you know, for the Braves. I think as much as anything, if you can run the pitch count up and maybe get him out of the game as quickly as possible, that would be helpful. But it's definitely going to be a tough ride. And if they can get Grant Holmes to match him, you know, may not look quite the same, but Holmes can run it up there 95. He's got a good curveball himself, and we saw him carve up the Dodgers last time out. So just keep the game close. Keep it manageable. Give yourself an opportunity to maybe do the same thing you did last night.
This is not a Braves question or conversation, but I do want to ask you because you talk about all things Major League Baseball, and make sure you check out Grant. He's on during the weekends, guys, covers all the things. Aaron Judge is off to an amazing start, and to be hitting 412 – and what, he's got 12 or 13 home runs now, Grant? I mean, like, are we about to watch something, you know, historic again with Aaron Judge? What's your take on what's going on with him?
Yeah, he's a special player, that's for sure. And you didn't need me on here to tell you that. You can find that out every time you watch him play, even as a casual fan. But I did see, I think it was MLB Network posted this morning. I mean, is it too early to start talking about Aaron Judge hitting 400? The answer to that question is yes. Okay. If you want to come back to me in August and talk about him hitting 412, then yeah, we're going to talk about it. But no, if he gets to the All-Star break even, I think that conversation will start to begin in earnest. But as of right now, Major League pitchers are having a lot of trouble figuring out how to deal with this guy. And that's nothing new. He's been doing this for a while. And yeah, I think that maybe he just needed to get Shohei Ohtani into another league so that people could put the spotlight on him and really give him his flowers. I know he's won MVPs, so that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about one of these superstars of this generation of baseball. He does a lot of special things, but it's another level this year. That's for sure.
It is.
Hey, earlier today we were talking about it. Day-Day had it in Yeah Man, No Man. Ken Rosenthal and our CJ Nitkowski from FanDuel were talking about ways to put some kind of interest into, like, baseball's amateur draft. Because, let's be honest, it's probably the most least compelling to this casual sports fan of the four major leagues. So what about doing it around they said the College World Series to try to pump some life into it. You got any thoughts on that?
I can tell you this. As somebody who's covered baseball for a long time and being a creature of habit, I could not hate it being during the All-Star game more than I do. I don't know why they had to take it into that particular arena if you want to have attention on your All-Star game, maybe have attention on that and not try to bring the draft into it. But the one problem, more to the point, is that you just don't see these guys affect their team the next year. Maybe the year after, you know, if you've got the Paul Skeens and the other guys that make you to the big leagues fast. But for the most part, all right, cool, we drafted this guy. He's from such and such. He'll get this amount. We'll see in 4 years. That's pretty much the track for the majority of these. Or Grant Holmes was a first-round pick. It took him 10 years to make it to the major leagues. It's just not that kind of excitement that the NFL and the NBA in particular are able to generate with, okay, we're changing the trajectory of our franchise because this star player is coming next year. You can't really do that as much in baseball. So I think in some ways, maybe it's just a fool's errand, but I don't know. Maybe they'll come up with something that makes it a little bit more intriguing and gets people to pop more for it. But I just think it's a different animal.
Great stuff. Grant, as always, we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully we keep streaking in the right direction. We will talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
All right.
Good stuff. That is our buddy, Grant McCauley. I'm just looking at these Aaron Judge numbers, Mike. He's got 56 hits, leading the league. Runs batted in,
well,
leading the league.
Well, you could hit home runs in that stupid stadium, Carl.
I mean, like, but here's the deal. Like, I agree with you, but he's on another level this year.
Yeah, whatever.
He may hit 400.
I know. I just despise
the
Yankees.
Disdain for the Yankees.
I can't stand them. And also, yeah. I mean, you know, that ballpark irks me. Every time I see highlights on MLB or on ESPN,
it's not always.
It's
Yankee
like literally,
stadium.
Man, just self-hit right out to right field. It's kooky.
All right, guys, when we come back, we talked about it at the start of the hour. Falcons rookies got their numbers. We're excited, but some of you are not. Why? We're going to tell you. Stay right there.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We are excited about the upcoming season. We're excited about the offseason because we like our draft class. But with that said, Mike, today we find out what numbers these guys are going to be wearing. And ironically, some Falcon fans are in their bag. You're in your feels.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to rock Jalen Walker in the number 11. So what's the hole up, swole up?
Oh, wait a minute. 11? Who wore 11?
Julio!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where is Julio?
Yes.
So, hey, man, I get it. You're a fan, and he's the greatest, if not the greatest. I mean, I'm a Roddy White guy personally, but I get Julio is the guy that's going to go in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, come on, guys. This team doesn't retire numbers. I mean, you may not have remembered that, you know, Michael Vick's number 7 went to Young Wei Koo.
Mm.
You know, I mean, and I would think that for those same guys crying about this, that would have irked you as well.
I agree. I mean, like, seriously, Mike Vick had obviously one of the biggest impacts in the history, not just here, in the NFL. And you didn't have any problems going, Koo!
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I mean, like, I'm not questioning your Falcon fandom. Sorry, tongue twister. But, you know, number 11 was issued to Logan Whiteside in 2020. Did you know that, Day-Day? Logan Whiteside.
The quarterback?
I don't remember anyone calling him, yo, Dukes and Bell, that's some bull blank. No, Logan Whiteside, rock number 11. Yes, now a guy who's going to hopefully have a really long career with the Falcons, Jalen Walker, he's going to rock number 11. They don't retire numbers. At some point, there'll be a 2, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. If Pettix says one day, I want to switch to 2, knock it out. I don't think Matt Ryan would care.
No.
But right now, 11 is going to be Walker.
And I'm fine with that. And I hope you are, too. I get it. We have this sentimental connection, Mike, to guys that wore these numbers. Because, again, we had the jerseys or whatever it might be, and you support your guys. But, I mean, really, to hear the pushback on some of this is like, really? This is just what it is. And this gets back to that conversation where rookies come in and, like, want a particular number that has been retired by certain teams. Teams should stop this nonsense. by the way, when we draft you and you come in here, here are the numbers that are off the table. Right. Let's not even discuss these because they have been retired. These are legendary players, and their numbers won't be worn here. That shuts all of that other crap down, Mike, right. When guys come in and like, well, you know, I've worn it since I was six. You weren't even born when this guy was playing.
I mean, with the Giants, it's been like a real hot-button issue with our sister station. You know, Boomer was talking about it on the morning show. I mean, Phil Sims, he took them to two Super Bowls. He won one, the second one he got hurt, and Hostetler actually had to play in the game. But Phil Sims was 11, you know, and a lot of Giants fans are going, that's still a number we're not going to see another guy wear. So if you're Abdul-Carter, you got to pivot. You know, I mean, like, if I'm the Giants, I got to be honest, I let him wear 11.
Okay.
I mean, it's been years, okay? And to be honest, even when he was winning, nobody liked Phil Sims. I'm going to go, and we've had him on the show a few times. It wasn't like, I do remember distinctly people going, oh, let's stick with Hostetler. Anyway, LT at 56, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, you're not messing with that. Like, I don't care who you are, kid, coming in, right. 56 is off limits. But that's up to the teams, Mike. They've got to do that. But to your point about the Falcons, I just feel like seeing these fresh faces come in. Pierce, by the way, 27, great. He rocked that in college. Nobody else did. Okay, get your number. That's great.
Right.
But if somebody has the number you wanted, or like we talked about Shedeur Sanders early in the week, he's been 2-2-2-2-2. Now he's going to be 12 because he can't be 2, right?
Yeah, and now Shedeur, I mean, I saw this thing today. Are you telling me Shedeur Sanders, I'm not sure, it's going to be the defensive tackle, Travis Hunter, is going to actually go 21 and they get on the sideline, put on another jersey and be 12 when he's a wide receiver? That seems a bit much.
Yeah,
I saw that today. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
The pushback is crazy. So Mike and I were discussing this. Look, we've talked about a lot of things today. You need to be here at 2 every day, all right? Show's a big show. But the fact is, we've got to allow these young guys to grow into their own, Mike. And speaking of the young guys, quick update. We're going to have one of these new rookies on the show tomorrow. I don't know who, and I don't know when. But I'm going to tell you that there's a chance you could hear Xavier Watts or Bowman on the show, or Nelson, one of the other rookies that we drafted, because we're trying to give you a chance to get to know these guys as they come into the ATL. As a matter of fact, rookie minicamp starts this week. So that is why all of this is being announced with the numbers and all that stuff is going on. But tomorrow, make sure you tune in because we're going to get a chance to talk to one of these guys.
It is kind of cool, though. You'll have Jesse Bates rocking 3 and Xavier Watts, 31.
Yeah.
Right. You mentioned Bowman, another guy, all that same position at 33. And we said it earlier. Can I say it again?
What's that?
Oh, Nelson's going to wear 69.
Yes, he is.
From Wisconsin, the big tackle. We'll see what he can do with this team. This is one year, as I said to Carl last, was a few months back, I'm not going to be a hype man. But, I mean, once I get up to camp and we get to see these dudes, can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing what Nick Nash. I'm excited, actually, for the first time in a long time, about some of these undrafted free agents, like Kobe Bryant from Kansas, etc.
Those are diamonds in the rough. Meaning if they make the team.
Yeah, odds are long.
Yes.
Maybe practice squad, you never know.
You never know. But if they make the team, Mike, but we've seen it time and time again, and then have an effect on the team, right, then that's when you know that your scouting department is doing the right thing. Where we're inviting the right guys to come be a part of our organization. They're going to grow, coach them up, they get better, and then at some point they have an effect on your team. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I feel like some of these guys – the corner out of Kansas, we continue to talk about, this guy could, I think he might make the team. I really do. I mean, I'm surprised with him that he wasn't drafted. He was one of the best corners in the country. But, okay, this is my path. I'm going to take it. But I agree with you. Like, the undrafted free agents, that's going to be a separate watch when we get to camp. And as we start to target some of these guys that we're trying to keep an eye on for you. And this year, the good news is, Falcon fans, you're going to get a chance to go up there. I mean, last year they had all the construction. It was weird. I know you guys were like, what happened? But this year, you'll be back up there with us.
Hey, thanks to AI. It's pretty funny. You can type in. Guys said, yeah, they do. I said, no, the Falcons don't retire numbers. So I just typed in, do the Falcons retire numbers? And you get the immediate breakdown. They don't.
They have that area over.
Don't, you know, and that's, they get so mad at me when I bring this
up.
Well,
yes, but where is the wall of
Falcon famous? I would love to see the names somewhere in the stadium.
It's outside?
They have the individual, like, placard things that are on the 300 level. There's a whole they I know it's there. I've just never seen it.
No,
but I know it's there.
Well, the plaza, when we used to do those bug parties out there before the games, they were lit, by the way. You could see where they had all this stuff, but it was on one side of the state. I'm trying to remember.
They got a big slab of concrete up on one of those pillars. I just saying, you put the names and the numbers from Jeff Van Oat and Bart Cowell. Although I just thought, Jesse, I don't know. That's just me.
Okay.
I'd like to see it somewhere where I'm in my seat. I can see it. That I know the Falcons get all, they get upset when I bring this up because they know we pay a tribute to these guys. I never seen it.
Yeah. It is on one side. I just forget what side it's on.
Right.
But it's there. Either way, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow, a bunch of other guests are going to stop by as well, and we will dive deeper into what's going on with the Braves. Hopefully they can keep this thing going, man. So we're looking forward to that. By the way, 6 o'clock, Turtles got you. 6 o'clock, the night show, so stay tuned for that. Hey, as we were discussing today and talking a lot about it, by the way, NBA playoffs continues tonight. Knicks stole one. Can they steal another one?
Well, I mean, is Joe Mazzulla going to say, hey, guys, keep launching those threes? As we talked about the other day, was it Nick Friedel we had on, Friedel? It was talking about from our Odyssey NBA insider that, look, that's their DNA. It's the stupid analytics, and they live and die with the three. But I can't imagine if they're not feeling their shot tonight at TD Garden that somehow they're going to keep chucking threes.
They can't.
I mean, when you said you called out Jason Tatum. You got the athleticism. Get to the rack. Jaylen Brown can get to the rack. I mean, it drives me nuts. The crazy thing, I was going to save this for Clear My Throat, but I'll mention it now. I don't know how you're the Timberwolves and you lose Steph Curry and you lose that game. I mean, they got Steph Curry out for a week with a grade one hamstring. And you've got guys who look like Nick Offerman from like Parks and Recreation out there. You're not throwing these guys into the stands? I mean, shame on Minnesota, man. They look soft as Charmin.
No, they really did. And OKC, they got to bounce back. So, you know, here's the thing. Nobody expected these games to be stole with the road teams, and it's kind of happened across the board, right?
You think Celtics come back with a fury tonight and smoke the Knicks?
I do.
You going to bet it?
No. No, because I don't trust them. Like to your point the other night, I was like, oh, they're at home. Knicks just went through a
Whoa, Boston minus 10.5.
I know. It's a lot.
You want to take the Knicks?
No.
McCall?
Nope.
My guy?
Nope. Stop it. No.
I mean, Steve's going to solicit this.
He was
soliciting me last week.
But no, the answer, I cannot. I think the Celtics bounce back, but I'm not going to tell you. And if they blow them out, it wouldn't surprise me. Guys, again, if they're hitting those threes, if they don't miss 45 the other night, it is a blowout.
Vegas expects both home teams and higher-ranked teams to blast them. Thunder are also a 10.5-point favorite tonight.
Now, but they beat everybody this year by 10 or more. That's kind of the norm for them. We'll see, man. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow as well. All right, Dom, we got to make way for the night show, man. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Big shout out to our guest, Mike Kay from the Charlotte Observer. He covers the Panthers. Does a really good job, man, and was breaking down their draft and what he thinks they're going to look like. It's funny because he said what I've been saying. The Saints are in rebuild mode. And he thinks Charlotte's going to be okay. He thinks we're going to be fine. He does not feel that way about the Saints. Go listen to the interview. It's online at odyssey.com. Dom, great job as always. Hey, man, we got to give a big shout out, Mike, to our teammate, Big O, and his beautiful wife, Brittany. They had their kid today, Henry, Benjamin, Patton, great Romaine. Pretty impressive.
Like I said, I mean, it sounds like the kid's already got a CEO coming his way. He's going to be a big shot somewhere.
Pretty impressive. All right, Day-Day, great job. We're back at you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Yeah, man. I referenced it earlier. The killer instinct, where does it not exist in the NBA? I mean, look, normally the Celtics under Joe Mazzulla usually have a bad game in the middle of a series where they just basically mail it in. You know, it's usually we're going back to Boston. We'll finish this series at home. But, I mean, where is the killer instinct? I know Rudy Gobert's French, Iselinda. But it just boggles the mind when you've got a team and they don't have Steph Curry on the floor and you let him come into your house and beat him. Ant-Man, stop yelling at the refs. I mean, Carl, there was plays down at the other end of the floor. He's busy at the other end yelling. I mean, it reminded me of like when Trey loses his poise. Come on, you young bucks. Get your head right. Start smoking these old dudes.
I don't know what is the bigger moment, but three of them happen on this date. I'm talking about NBA playoff moments. 1989 on this day. You guys know what happened? Jordan hits the shot over Craig Elo. Then, in 1994, the Nuggets, the first 8 seed to beat a number 1 seed, taking out the Seattle Supersonics. You guys remember, rest his soul, Dikembe on the floor.
Holding the ball.
Yeah. And then, on this date, Reggie Miller and the Pacers scored 8 points in 9 seconds. In game one against the Knicks.
Oh, wow.
Some pretty historical things have gone down. Maybe we see another one tonight. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
You missed all of Reggie Miller's shots because Spike Lee was standing up in front of you.